SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
To Moneyline with Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside.
All right, we are back here. It is hour number two. Moneyline, Kevin Walsh, Donnie Wrightside, and JP, who has now become the smartest capper in the world, Donnie. He gives you best bets on guys that just don't even know how to make the lineup.
That's Kyle smart, though.
Over one and a half bases. Trout doesn't play. JP, how are
you? Tell me.
Oh, we're doing good, but the Theo Maledon, I'll chalk that up to, all right, the Thunder don't want to win. A stomach bug from Mike Trout on a random day of the week, I don't know anymore. I'm going to stay away from the player props. I think I'm cursing people out here.
You don't want to kind of knock it down. Like, they're not going to postpone a game on you, right, JP? Is the thought process there?
If I bet on one of these NBA games tonight and it gets postponed, I might just have to put the phone down for a week.
It's a good point. It's a good call. Now, JP, it's been a little while here. Crypto update. Is it a bull market? Is it a bear market? Are the vibes immaculate? How do we feel?
We're getting crushed out here. And a lot of that has to do with just the way that debts and assets are working right now in the actual money markets. I'm trying to educate myself enough to understand the depths of it, but it's not pretty out here right now.
No, what's a little Bitcoin price? Are we dropping? What is it doing?
Down bad on the weekly. Down bad about $5,000 on the weekly.
Oh.
Whoa.
Price-wise on the Bitcoin.
Now, how do we need it? Does that mean we need a tweet from Elon Musk just to fire up the market again?
I don't even think that would do it. I mean, we get a small run off that, but it's a bigger issue at the moment, and I think it's going to be a bit brutal here for a bit, but we're sticking strong.
No paper hands. No paper hands here.
You get it, Donnie. Yeah.
Donnie does research before, in the middle of these segments. I don't know what.
They call me Diamond Donnie, baby.
Hop back in the time machine with me. All right. The year is recent. The scene is Saturday Night Live. And Elon Musk is set to somehow send Dogecoin into outer space. I think I have that correct. Were you a part of that wave? Were you expecting Elon Musk to host Saturday Night Live and turn Dogecoin into the number one, item in the entire planet? What was the deal there?
You know, it's funny because my brother owned a ton, and I was begging him before he went on that show, sell it now. If everyone expects it to go up, it's going to go down. That's how these things work.
Wow.
He called me an idiot, held, and he's still holding. I was like, man, you missed your chance.
Reverse line movement, Donnie, on the Dogecoin.
Yeah, exactly. That's what we need. I'm telling you, we just need a couple of people to pump that market back up for us here. And I found my day holy play. Thank you.
There it is. We'll check back in with JP at the end of our show. We'll get a nice pick from JP. Looks like he gave us a hint. It's coming from the NBA today, which you'll love to hear that. We're excited about that. We do have got two on, one out, J.D. Martinez at the dish here, Donnie. This needs to be runs.
Yeah, we need runs here.
This needs to be runs here from Boston.
Put one in the gap and the party is on, because that should be able to score two runs here. Should be able to do it. Oh, man, I'm just watching this replay right now. It's the very same play.
Tweet it out. You're going to send it to me? What's the deal? Do you want me to type it in myself? How do I get eyes on this?
Yeah, it's actually interesting here because it's a fan. It's not even like the official game.
No.
Like feed, which is crazy. It's a fan. Oh, great. Double play here for good job. On, good job, JD. That was the big chance for us. But it's from like a fan, like in the second deck with a clear view. And it's exactly the way I remember it, man. And they show it on like the replay of the big screen here. It's on YouTube. I just typed in Day Ho Lee, DAE-HO, last name Lee. Unbelievable, as I remember this. Now, the score was 5-2 as a final. So I'm going to assume that I took a team total with Seattle at 5.5. So I want to say maybe like the over-under was like a 7.5 or an 8, which is typical for like the Mariners back then. I want to say that because I remember this play so vividly. It's the same exact way. I'm like, I didn't remember that play. It was almost like I have it imprinted in my mind. So it takes a while to go down and actually find it. But it's under Mariners' Dae-Ho Lee running from first to home. And it was the exact same game. Looks like it was July 3rd, seventh inning, and a perfectly placed double between the left fielder and the center fielder. And he's on first base with two outs. And I remember, like, I got this win, I got this win, I got this win. And it looked like it might be a close play. And I can't believe it was like a perfect relay from center field to shortstop or whoever, and they pegged him right at the plate. But it's up there. It's got 65 views, so there you go.
I'm watching it. I mean, he's on his horse, man. Like, if you pause it from when the relay man gets it.
Yes, that's what I was talking about. Yes, correct.
Like,
impossible. I mean, not like, impossible.
Impossible. I mean, it's, oh my. When that ball leaves his hands, he couldn't get closer to home plate.
It doesn't.
He might be at home.
I, like, had to watch that multiple times, and it hurt me so bad that I remember rolling around at night going, I don't know how I lost that, you know, wage, because I probably needed eight runs, and that was it with two, like, and they're showing on the replay, like, as he focuses in, and right, like, he's rounding third, and he's already got, like, five or six steps in by the time the shortstop gets the ball out in left field. So, like, the next viewpoint is usually him safe by a mile, and it seems like time, like, just stopped on his end where he was running, and it just pegged at the plate. Tough one, man. Boy, I remember that play for the rest of my life.
Is that the laser show, Donnie, throwing that ball in?
Uh-huh.
I mean, my goodness, man, that was some piece of business there.
People not knowing who the laser show, very disappointing.
We're coming up against the break, though. Yeah, right. We'll be right back here quick break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Find me outside, man. Oh, wow, we're back right here. It's ugly time on the money line. Call in 844-843-6879. Donnie, I'll give you $5. You tell me the phone number.
968-420-1698. Did I get it? Did I get that one? I think I remember that's what it was. Is that it?
That's the easiest. That, you want to put a risk-free bet right there, man.
Oh,
that
get
is
through.
Risk-free. Get through. Throw it into the clouds.
Yeah, that's wasted. That was a wasted. We're wasting runners here, and it's a shame to get a triple with two outs in this. So that's disappointing. But by the way, you know, callers, we are an interactive show. We have people out here like our good friend Rufy Chew. Sleeping baby next to him. Can't call in. Working from remote. We got everybody chiming in here today. So the people are out there listening and having some fun, digging in, and we're looking to dig. I need two more runs in this game, which I quite frankly needed one more clutch base hit, and I haven't gotten it yet, but it looks like some of these pitchers here are starting to run out of gas, so somebody can catch one here, hopefully.
Man, oh man, how about it? We got a lot coming up today. Should we do baseball, NBA? What do you want to do here, Donnie, with these games here? What do you want to
We got some time to go over it. Yeah, let's see what we got here. Let's go. Why don't we hit the Major League Baseball card, right? We'll do that first because you got a couple 4 o'clock games. Are they the greatest games in the world? No, not necessarily. And we talked about it, Seattle and Chicago White Sox, Cleveland and Cincinnati, Cubs and Pirates here, but not a lot of great pitchers. Now, Bieber and Molly is actually a decent matchup. Hence, you have some outlets here showing an 8 as a total and a pick 'em. So those are the games that I look at them like, you know what? I don't really have an advantage both sides. If I had any advantage, per se, in April. I don't in that game. But Brash and Velasquez. Brash doesn't have any statistics last year for Major League Baseball, so I assume it's a younger kid. I didn't really do any research because, again, it doesn't really matter anyway at this part in the year. And Velasquez, we know what he is. But it's interesting that that game is a 9 across the board. So you figure that you would get runs in that game, but I don't know if maybe you haven't seen Brash before and Velasquez found something, but also it could be, when we usually talk about games at Chicago, it's about Wrigley Field and the wind blowing in. How about winds blowing in at 13 miles an hour from dead center field in that White Sox game? So that could put a damper there. But the game that also, you should get runs in this game, and it's only an 8.5, and that is the Cubs and the Pirates with Smiley and Quintana on the mound. I'm going to say that we actually have starting lineups in that game. So let me just scroll down and see what we got here in that one. Okay, Chicago and Pittsburgh, and we do, and not bad here, because we had the lefty Quintana. When we talked about it on the early line, it was all about focused on right-handed batters, and look at this. Remember they had one left-handed batter listed in the probable lineup today, and that was Jason Hayward. He's not even in the lineup. So nine right-handed batters to go up against Quintana, who got crushed by right-handed batters last year. And then we take a look at Drew Smyly on the opposite side here, who struggled with both lefties and righties, and it looks like we have one lefty batter, which is Setsugo. Well, it doesn't really fare that well anyway. So we're taking a look here, Kevin. Let's just say we have 18 batters, 17 batters are going to come from the right-hand side against left-handed pitching. That should get you runs today.
Yeah, that's nice. That's really, really nice there. I think some of these 4 o'clock games are interesting, but one game specifically that, and obviously, you know, look, all the AL East, but I got into this a little bit today with you, Donnie, is I just can't wait for Dodgers Twins. Because Minnesota's, by the way, that's not a ball club that, you know, has entered this season without expectation. That's not a team that has, you know, entered this season, you know, expecting to be a doormat for the best in this sport. No, they think that they're going to be a playoff team, and they face a Dodgers group that's just lost two in a row to the Colorado Rockies. You know, the Padres, a little hot 4-1 start, but more than what anyone else is doing, it's about what the Dodgers are doing. It's what that group's doing and how so many expectations on them. And the one thing I do think you saw a little bit, Donnie, in that first series with Colorado, again, not looking to overreact, as the Boston Red Sox might be the worst team in baseball.
The Red Sox stink, man. Jeez.
I mean, they might be the worst team in baseball. We're going to find out, but they might be the worst team in baseball. But the one thing for me, Donnie, with this Dodgers team, is there were reasonable questions around the rotation as currently presented. At some point, you expect Dustin May back from TJ. Who knows what happens with Trevor Bauer? But at some point, maybe the rotation looks better. But as currently presented, Donnie, that rotation is not, I think, a group that often matches how we view this Los Angeles Dodger baseball team. The lineup is ridiculous. We know it well. But really, Donnie, Walker Buehler, I mean, you know, if you really like Urias, it's not five deep. And I don't know if it's four deep. There's some vulnerability there. The Dodgers feel like more of an over team than a team I'm laying run lines with.
Yeah, but also you have to remember that bullpen is really good. I mean, it's really good as well. And that's really, in Major League Baseball, if you can just get through the first 4 or 5 innings a la, you know, Tampa Bay and hand it over to your pen, you can still do some damage. And that's what I think most people look at here if you are the Dodgers. Being, okay, they got some front end of the rotation guys. And if they have to make a move for another starter, they certainly will. But they're so deep and talented with their 1-9 every day at the plate. And then you couple that with a bullpen that later in the game, when you're close, 3-2, 4-3, 5-4, winning or losing, the Dodgers are usually going to have the advantage over you. And that's what most people primarily would be looking at.
And I'm not, you know, going on a soliloquy, Donnie, to say, hey, this team's going to, you know, finish 500 or, you know, this team isn't going to make the postseason. But I think it's about kind of the Dodgers consistently being viewed as an autoplay. And it might just be maybe it's a slow start for the Dodgers, right? You'll know when that team's going to turn it on, I think, right? You'll start to probably see it. The schedule starts to line up. It's, you know, it's June and you know, kind of just a waterfall of wins starts to, you know, work its way for that baseball team. But I'm not going to, you know, I can't believe they lost to Minnesota. That's just not how I feel right here, right now, as presently constructed. It's early season, no doubt. Let me sneak this in, then we can preview some more. We're mixing some NBA, different things like that, Donnie. It's going to the bottom of the fifth, you know, last chance here for the first five in general. This game right now is a story of missed opportunity more than anything. The live number is a 7. The Boston team total is a 1.5. The Tiger team total is a 4.5. Is there anything in catching the eye here today?
I mean, I guess the 1.5, you know, sticks out the most at that point because you say, well, Detroit doesn't have a great pen, and sooner or later you're probably going to string together some hits. But this is early season where technically both of them look good, and we've seen many games 4-0, 2-0, 3-1. I mean, they've all been littered across baseball because offenses typically aren't caught up just yet here, timing down here, cooler temperatures, getting used to your surroundings, which they'll change as the season goes on. You know, guys get 50, 60, 70, 80 at-bats in them, and, you know, you work on your timing with some of these pitchers. But it does feel like you would just, if you like the over already, it's okay, well, I need one team to score 2 runs, the other team to score 2 runs. One of those two teams is probably going to fall into that, and that's where you would go.
It's plus money, that 7. I like it. Detroit's bullpen, they should be able to touch. They should be able to get to Detroit's bullpen.
Yeah.
And is Alexander done now, do we think, Donnie, after 5 innings of work? I can't believe
we
are with this Boston lineup.
Might be.
Like, we're hoping Tyler Alexander's done? You got to be kidding. But we'll
bullpen.
See if we can find the spot here. Yeah, man. That's what he's only throwing 62 pitches. I don't know what a typical Tyler Alexander start looks like, though, man. All right, quick break. Plenty more to break down live with you on a Tuesday afternoon on Sports Grid Radio.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, back to here on Moneyline. Almost 5 innings through. This is a pretty big at bat here. Goes without saying, I guess, to a degree. But if Grano can get on, you turn it to the top of the Detroit order. You only need 2 runs, Donnie, for your bet. I know I'm a little bit behind you, so I hope that's not like a struck out chuckle.
No, he popped up. So it's down to 2 at bats. This has one of those feels where this game could end up 3-0. To be honest, it just has that feel to it right now. Like, we, you know, nothing was going on. That a little burst, and it's one of those where you could have already, like, because I have the over 4.5. You could have actually cashed this, and if you take the under, you're like, I can't even believe this. Like, this all happened in the blink of an eye with, like, 2 outs, and they did nothing for 5 straight innings. But they popped a 5 spot here in, like, what, the bottom of the third or whatever it was here. So top of the lineup is up, but that's where you would want to have the leadoff guy get on. Then you can start doing some damage here. So Rich Hill spinning his junk, and I guess this is what you get from him, right? 70 pitches, 3 earned runs, which is exactly probably what they factor. Like, hey, it's a pretty good start out of the old man tonight.
You know, the thing is, right, you always, when it comes, especially a first 5 bet, right, how many opportunities did I have? A 2-out triple hurts. What hurts significantly more is the Boston Red Sox sit here on 0. J.D. Martinez came up with 1st and 2nd, 1 out, grounded out into a double play. Again, this is very simple. Hey, first 5 innings, Detroit scores 3. You like over 4.5.
Mm-hmm.
I like over 4.5. Yeah. I like a lot more than over 4.5. I mean, let's start to really tune this thing up here. You know, that's kind of the problem with where this is now. Now, Grossman's 3-0 up here on Rich Hill. You get Grossman on. What is it? Meadows that there follows, and then Javi Baez after. Yeah, I mean, what the?
Yeah. Now, the unwritten rules of baseball, where the 3-0 count means you get an extra foot on every single side of the plate, right. I'll never understand that. Doesn't that just extend the game? Doesn't it extend the game? You got to swing the bat here. Now, granted, was it close to being a strike? Yes. The second pitch announced 3-2. That was a strike. But I love that all across baseball where 3-0 count, if you throw it anywhere but my head, it's a strike.
You know, Don, how they talk about, like, In the NBA, right? There are some guys like a Draymond, right? You know, Don. They have these. They give them the quick trigger on their technicals because they have a reputation.
Yes,
and they've earned those reputations. Baseball is in a completely different planet where A guy is now put on display. He lacks control. And the ump goes, let me help
him out.
What are you doing? What are you doing? Exactly. How is that better? Yeah. Like,
it should be like, hey, buddy, you know, like, you're so all over the place here, you better throw it right down the middle. Or the old, you know, rule that's he missed this spot, or if he hits the spot. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? I line up over the outside corner of the plate, 6 inches off. If I hit that glove, that's a strike because that's gamesmanship, and you threw it exactly where you wanted to. But the catcher that lines up outside and you throw the ball inside and it catches the entire black of the plate. Like I'm talking about, no question strike, that's a ball because you missed your spot. Love those.
It's so incredible to watch, man, because it doesn't, like, again, it's such an archaic sport.
Yeah.
It really is, right? And it's, you know, semi-designed that way. I guess some people will tell you maybe even that's a part of the charm at times.
Yeah.
But
not the charm. Like I hate it. I hate it.
Well, that's what I'm hoping for others, Donnie. Like, it feels like there are people that, like, again, like the other day, Donnie. I mean, this guy, Connor Falefa, hardly moves his wrist. They ring him up on a check swing. There are things, like, because they point down to the guy at first base who was, like, you know, taking a look at his watch. Like, what do you want from me? He went. Let's get it. You know, like, there are things they do in Major League Baseball that, again, and we've done this before on this show, if you try and come up with equivalents in other sports, your brain would explode trying to justify them. A world where the guy whose job it is to call balls and strikes can't figure out if a guy directly in front of him swung or not has to go to a guy 90 feet away who may or may not have been paying any attention to the matter and barely has a good look on it, decides whether or not a guy broke his wrist. What a preposterous, a completely outrageous notion that we're still going down to first or third base to see if a guy check swung or not.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting that you say that, to be honest with you. We talk about, like, technology in Major League Baseball, which is improving. Like, you know, we have K-Zones on TV that can tell you strike or not right away, but for some reason we can't instrument it in Major League Baseball quite yet. But the check swing, why can't there be a, like, right over home plate where it looks straight down, and it's almost, you ever see tennis where they just go, okay, challenge it, and they run that little digital, like, profile where the ball lands? Like, yep, it was out. Yep, it was in, and it's very simple to figure out. Why can't we do that? Like, why can't we have that in Major League Baseball where they would look straight down and tell you if that guy's back crossed the plane of the plate?
Like, it's like to even pretend they don't have the capabilities is laughable. They do. We know they do. These things are, you know, it's as if they like going down to the first base line with this stuff.
Wow. Everybody gets a part. And also, the super hot take of everything is this. I like a little human element in baseball.
I'm
like the missed strike. It was better when we didn't have replay.
I've explained this to people before because is the first time someone had mentioned robot umps to me. I was like, nah, yeah, but I don't know. Like, it's the human element. And that person I was talking to said, why do you want that? And then, as I just said, made examples to every other sport to which I, before that conversation was over, went, my bad, way off base. They better change this sooner than later. Like, because it doesn't make sense. That's not sports. Like nobody wants officials to have that much control. Strike zones are supposed to be strike zones. Like, it's not like an ump shows up to the game with a strike zone. It's supposed to be consistent.
Correct.
Like, Aaron Judge, they still don't know how to call a strike zone for Aaron Judge, Donnie, because he's too big.
Too
it's
hard.
Crazy.
Too hard. Yeah, it's like showing up to a game, like an NFL crew. Like, yeah, you know what? This crew's notorious for 12 and a half yards for a first down. That's just what it is. And you live with it, right? You live with it. Oh, defenses love this because it's 12 and a half yards for their first down. And that's just the way it is. And with the way this umpire crew calls it, or referee crew, it is pretty
funny. Oh, man. And I'm sure people will say, like, oh, yeah, but aren't there some, you know, officiating crews that are more likely to call pass interference and things like that? Well, you know what? Yeah, that's true. And I don't want to give them a pass, but golly, Donnie, is there a difference between a contact sport moving at a million miles an hour and a baseball being moved directly in front of your face? I mean, we cannot just be lining those things up as the same thing. We can't. That did not just happen.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, it did. That's the best way to end the five innings. Yep. Congratulations, boys. Like, I don't even understand. Okay. Still.
That's the only thing it could have been. I didn't see a replay, but I you know, it takes you a bounce to. Yeah. So basically, a pop up to third base on the
high pop up.
On the, you know, foul territory grass. Yeah. No, super high pop up. Devers is camped under it, you know, filling out a crossword puzzle. And Grossman gets doubled off first because I guess the hit and run was on.
Yeah, but let me tell you something. This, look, I never played baseball at the highest level, being the majors. I never played it at college. But having said that, the hit and run design is, yes, I'm off as soon as the guy pitches the baseball. And for as long as I've done hit and runs myself, you basically have one eye on the plate to see what's actually going on, because it's not designed to be a steal. It's like, I just got to hustle as hard as I can to slide in the second base, because that's not the point of a hit and run at that point. The point of the hit and run is I'm getting a jump, and if this guy laces one into the gap, I'm kicking it into extra gear because I've already left early and I will score with ease. Or I can see, whoa, that's a pop fly. Let me run the second base and then jog back to first. Not like I have no idea where this ball is, and I'm just going to be thrown out here at first base. That's terrible base running.
And there's two other things, right? Let someone say, well, he was trying to steal. Don't do that. Stop trying to steal with two strikes on a guy. That's madness. Why would you ever do that? Secondly, adjust to the times. 2022, take the hit and run off. Doesn't work. Makes no sense. Archaic decision to make. To think that no one's hitting for contact anymore, Donnie. That's not happening. All right. The odds that ball is going to, you know, go through the outfield. Look at him. He's sliding into second base. It was a steal. And he slid in, Donnie, with his back towards the, how do you do that? Like, would he go on his own?
Yeah, I don't know. It's just bad base run. It makes it feel better that it was actually a steal. But at the same time, like, what are you stealing for? Just put the hit and run on. And what are you even doing that for anyway? So, oh, well, it happens. And I guess you figure you had, if I get thrown out, we'll start it up with still the middle of our lineup out. And you can sort of get after it there. But ends with three. That's why I said this game has the feel of a 3-0 final.
Like, I'd like to come back in on this live total of a 6.
Oh, there we go.
I'd like to. But, and a Plawecki base knock. You know what, folks? You come back here, there might be some games.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We're locked into the money line with Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside.
I'll jump into it. Let's see if we can flex the live muscle a bit. So, Plawecki leadoff base knock. They bumped him over to second. Kike Hernandez gets a double. 1.5 minus 136 is now 2.5 minus 122. First, we pour one out for a fallen comrade, Donnie Wrightside, who basically the first six, you know, over. So, what'd you get? First five over 4.5, first six over 5.5. Like, you might find yourself with a winning wager. 2.5 minus 128, Boston team total. 7.5 for the game. Before we preview anything else, Donnie, does this game catch your eye for a live bet right now, or maybe the moment's gone?
Well, maybe, I don't know if the moment is gone at this point, but I think we brought up the fact is, like, you saw those live numbers, right? 4 and 2, and you're saying to yourself, like, man, the first one that draws it to you is the 2 or the 1.5 because like, now, hold on, is Boston really going to get like shut out? And what you're hoping for is at least get one run with a chance to get the 2 to get it back. So now you're talking about your best hitter at the plate. He smokes one there. So now you got 3-2 right there. So there's 5 runs, and this game is going to start to heat up. And usually it ends, you know, that's why it's a 5th-inning bet, where the 6th inning typically is where the pitcher starts to run out of gas, but you don't go to your best reliever, so you can start to tackle. And that's what's happening right now as a single by Rafael Devers to make this game 3-2-2.
If you grabbed over 1.5, you are living pretty. As you just cashed a ticket with only really one out needing to be paid for. The game total is now 8.5. The Boston team total is now 3.5. Plus 168 on Boston doesn't look bad. If you're playing a team live, I don't think that's a bad look at all. Let's run through the NBA board here, Donnie, and then we can work through baseball again. See if there's anything that we like in the association tonight. And then again, we can kind of button it up on the baseball side. Perhaps tell me, have you already dropped some plays in the bucket here for the NBA card?
Yeah, actually, I have 2 of them. I took 2 prop bets. Andre Drummond, points and rebounds. I couldn't figure out because he actually does well over like the past, like, you know, handful of games, dozen games with points and rebounds. But I just felt like it was one of those where if I chose points at 10.5, he gets you 9. But like 16 rebounds, or if I chose like, you know, rebounds at 11.5, he gets you 10, but 15 points. Man, I missed out on that. So I actually went points and rebounds over 22.5 at a -113 price. And then in the second game, just to get some balance, I actually took D'Angelo Russell points, rebounds, and assists over 27.5 at a -125. The last 2 games, he sat out the last 2 games because, you know, things are already wrapped up for them. But the previous 2 games before that did easily go over the 27.5. So I think that game is going to be a high-scoring game. So I wanted a piece of everything for D'Angelo Russell. And then, of course, I went with Andre Drummond. Just get those boards out there, kid. Give me 15 rebounds and just get a couple putbacks and I'll cash that one in.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic. So here's what I like in the NBA. I have not been able I haven't kind of like clicked down on everything, but this is all stage steady. I'll probably click down once we just get off air. I'll give you the notes. I'll give you what makes sense. Cleveland plus to 9.5. We've talked about this quite a bit. Brooklyn doesn't cover at home. I don't think this just stops in the postseason. Maybe it does. Maybe I'm wrong. The last time they covered at home versus Cleveland. Before that, felt like, you know, it just absolutely never happened. I do think Cleveland competes tonight. That's just the way Brooklyn games have gone. I like Kyrie under 28.5 points. 4-2 under at home. KD, Kyrie have now been kind of on off. Who goes off? Kyrie more so picks on the garbage teams these days. That's really been Kyrie's MO. More so than, you know, playing the better opponents. Bigger game, better defense. I expect this to be the Durant show. It pushes towards a Kyrie under 28.5. He's coming off of an over, which makes me feel better, as Kyrie has not been able to press down on overs as much since becoming a full-time player. 3 different things I like in the Timberwolves-Clippers game. One I want to ask you about. The other 2 are props. The 2 props, Anthony Edwards over 9.5 rebounds plus assists. This is now plus 108. This was minus money before. I'm wondering if an 8.5 appears, but 9.5 is just fine. I like Ant Edwards over that. He's hit it in 6 of his last 7. And then Paul George over 7.5 rebounds. That's plus 114. He's hit that in 8 of 12 games this year where he's played 36 minutes or more. I expect that. Obviously, in this basketball game, big game, you know, do or die, but close enough. And then in the postseason last year, in the 8 he played without Kawhi, he averaged 11 rebounds per game. Here's the one I wanted to ask you about, Donnie. The total for the Timberwolves-Clippers game is 230.5.
Yeah.
The Minnesota Timberwolves played 5 consecutive overs to end the season. Now, I don't think that alone would move someone towards an over, right? Yeah. Last 5 games of a regular season, not the same as the playoffs. But what if I told you, Donnie, the average points per game in those five, 255 points per game in those five games. You can be honest, Donnie, maybe the sample size doesn't move you at all. But even if we're going to start to really batten down the hatches here in Minnesota and Los Angeles, that's still 25 south of what has been going on in these Minnesota games, Donnie. I think I like over 230.5.
Yeah, we're expecting, you know, points in this one. Also, you know, the running theme for me this week is looking at the lines, not so much the sides of which Brooklyn goes from 8.5 to 9.5 your game day. We'll see if they approach a 10 as we get closer to tip at 7 o'clock. But outside of that was the 226s that we're seeing here in the first game with the Cavaliers and the Nets. The second game tonight, Clippers and Timberwolves, 230.5. Tomorrow, the first game at 7 o'clock, the Hornets and the Hawks, 236.5. And then you also have a 227 in the Spurs-Pelicans game. There's no slouches on points here. Now, the next day, we start out, what, 215 and 217.5, getting a little bit back to normal once you get to those games, I believe, on Saturday. But I just find it interesting that in the playoff atmosphere that we're sitting primarily in the high 220s and 230 range here, that's what I was looking at. But also from that Timberwolves perspective, that's a game that you're probably looking for more points than even the Cavaliers and the Nets, more of an open flow, open plan. But as I said, there's two different things happening today. FanDuel Sportsbook opened that line at 229 and now sits at 226.5. They opened the Clippers-Timberwolves at 230.5, still sits at 230.5. So I think people are with you saying, you know, there's more propensity for points probably coming in Clippers and Timberwolves, and that's the way we'll lean.
Yeah, I think that makes some sense. I'm excited for both of these games tonight. Big-time games here, big implications. Single elimination NBA action delivered last year. The games were fun. They'll be fun again. The curmudgeons who, oh, come on, you mean to tell me that, you know, some of the 9-10s deserve it? Be quiet. Quiet. Watch the baseball slate then. All right? Enough of you people who complain about high-leverage basketball. You must not like this sport. Enough of your hot takes. All right? Please, miss me with that nonsense. Any other NBA thoughts, Donnie, or you want to go to the baseball board or anything else maybe on the mind?
Yeah, no, just watching a couple things here. By the way, quick update. If anybody, you know, watches around the country, whether it's a news update, the city of Philadelphia Monday is going back to a mask mandate, which means if you are going to a Sixer playoff game, I'm sure the fans are going to absolutely love putting masks back on. But having said that, the Phillies released a statement today from their team. You know, a couple guys they picked up in, you know, minor leagues and, you know, sending them back and forth as we get another, looks like RBI double here to make it 3-3 now.
Right?
Detroit. Yeah, it did get down. So 3-3. Barnes is, Devers scores from second base after a pass ball. But the Phillies, Corey Niebel, who is their new closer, if you were questioning why he wasn't in the game last night and Brad Hand closed it out, well, Niebel went on the COVID-related IL, which is apparently still a thing. I don't know how in Major League Baseball, I guess, until you, what do you have to do, turn yourself in? They're not testing, right? You just have to actually say, I don't feel good, let me get a test, all right, I'm out.
Yeah, he probably has COVID, Donnie.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. He does, but most people would even, I got a little sniffle, saying I need to pitch tonight.
Yeah, I don't know. I will say, Donnie, I think you want to take a 1,000-foot step back. Had to be certainly when you were growing up, but I even know me, right? I'm like, man, you know what? I'm not feeling too hot. You know, hey, parents, I think I'm going to stay home from school. Pfft, what? No, you're not. You're fine. You go to school. You'll be all right.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people, you know, kind of power through some sickness. It's how I want to try and sound old, but like it's how I was brought up. I imagine, Donnie, it was the same of you. I do think there's a world where COVID's probably changed that for people, where it doesn't make as much sense to do it in that way, I would say. Let's sneak in a phone call, though. Let's sneak in a phone call before we get close to wrapping up this show. We're going to West Virginia on the Moneyline Hotline. Again, that number, 844-843-6879. David in West Virginia. What's going on, David?
Hey, I'm just going to call myself David Redtail from now on. That works.
There you go. There you go. I remember it. Go ahead. You got it.
Okay.
What you got?
I'll tell you one, man. FanDuel has a boost that, from what I'm hearing, you guys should love this. Durant to get over 30.5 points, plus the Nets win, plus 130.
Mm-hmm.
Get your guys' thoughts on that?
Yeah, there's actually two of them from that game, which, you know, that one, if you think Kevin Durant's going to score big points, obviously it's a correlation that the Nets were going to win, so plus 130 makes sense. But there's also one in this one here. Kyrie Irving and Darius Garland to combine for 8+3s tonight at a plus 280 price. That's like a rebound prop for me, K-Dub, right? That's like me saying to myself, oh my goodness, I can't stop this one, but maybe I don't. But what are your thoughts on KD to get 30? Now, granted, it's actually lower than what his points prop is, which I was looking at earlier.
It was
32.5. So 30 or more and a Nets win. You probably figure if the Nets win, there's two guys going off. It's him and Kyrie. And I know your thoughts are probably Kyrie's not going off and Kevin Durant will go off.
Yes. And by the way, David Redtail, appreciate the phone call. Checking in with us on the way out, alerting.
West Virginia.
I wanted to get to this boost board. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we got to get that into the rotation. Here's the thing. I will be betting both Nets games boosts. I don't see a losing night. This is where we're talking about the value of plus money. I'm on the Kyrie unders. If Kyrie scores 30, I'll make you a guarantee. He scores 30 tonight, he will hit five threes. At least he will hit five threes. You only need three from Garland then. You can get one of those guys can catch fire. Kevin Durant should get 30. You might be able to take both down, by the way. Kyrie has made four threes and gone under his points prop before. Garland gives you four of his own, you're in the money. Garland made five when they just played Brooklyn.
Yeah.
So just to put this into perspective, Don, that they are not unaware of this, you would have hit both of those bets in that game that just happened on Friday. Kyrie would have gone under his points. The Nets did cover the game, went under the number. Just to give people the perspective on it, I'll add, because this is a huge boost board on the FanDuel Sportsbook, Towns PG, tough. 60+, if it was 55+, 50+, different story. I don't like it as much. Judge to hit a home run and the Yanks to win is 5-1. I have a take on that. We'll talk about that. We'll get a pick from JP and closing boards and thoughts, all of that, as we make our way out here on a Tuesday.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, let's close this thing out. We go to JP. JP, you're betting in the play-in today. That way they can't take it away from
play
you.
So I'm going to one of the other games tonight. I'm going to the Hawks game. I'm taking the Trae Young over, and I'm parlaying that with a Hawks win.
Can't wait for tonight. Yeah. And when's that time is that game?
Now, JP.
JP's got a lot of me in him over there. He does.
What's up?
Now, JP. Now, what if promise you that bet doesn't lose tonight? I mean, how would you feel about that?
I feel great about it. I mean, Trae Young is going to go off.
Yep.
Yeah. Now let me ask.
Online,
you,
maybe.
Are you busy tomorrow, JP? Because that's when that game is. I hope.
That didn't do that.
Line up and watch.
I didn't do that again.
Come on, dog. I mean, come on.
Bang.
I mean, you really gave us another pick that can't cash today.
Yes.
I mean, you got.
By the way, he's probably doing the people a service though. Like, you always get your money back at least, even if you don't get the enjoyment of betting it.
It happened once, and I got an excuse, and I'm back at it.
Where's that game?
Man, that's. Like, JP's given us, Donnie, more picks that have been void than picks that have been, like, actionable.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you can bet it, by the way, but it is what it is. Look, well, I wanted to make this quick take here. We've gone through our bets. You can find at Right Side VP. I'm at Lee Kevin Walsh.
Yeah.
Here's my take on that Judge home run and a Yanks boost. 5-1, big price.
Yes.
Baseball boosts are terrible. I've consistently looked at all of these, and I think I hate them all. I am going to make it my mission to fix baseball boosts. Home runs are hard. One of these two guys to home run is a terrible boost. Hitter prop parlays were like a grand salami, combined strikeouts. They're not seeing it early season here, Donnie. Currently, baseball boosts stink.
yeah, maybe we'll change that tide as the season moves forward. But tomorrow, what do we have? But what tomorrow? Early line? Maybe a little Tom Brady future plans here that got foiled. Top 7-7. Hey.
I tell you what, you line it up, we'll knock it down. We'll see you there, right there tomorrow. It starts with the early line. We're back on the money line. That's Done It Right, Adam. Kevin Walsh, enjoy your day.